Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, LifeLink. How you doing? God is good? And all the time? He is so good. Well, welcome this morning. My name is Tom Carlini. I'm one of the executive pastors here on staff, and Pastors Dave and Cherie, our lead pastors, are out, and so it's an incredible honor to be able to speak on their stage and to bring you the Word of God this morning. I've got my amazing family here. In fact, it's actually growing, right? Rodell's mom and sister are here, Natalie and Carmel. So we are glad for that. Family, you guys are amazing. I'm so proud of you. I'm glad of all that God has done and is doing in your lives. You know, that's how we know that God is at work, that we are changed daily. That there's real life change happening daily in our lives, that we are different, that we should be different 1 month from today than we are today because of God's word. And he will do that if we are faithful. So thank you, family. Thank you for what you do for me. You make me a better man, a better husband, a better father, and a better papa. I am a proud granddad of four amazing grandchildren, Annabelle, Connor, Kyler, and Crew. They're just amazing. I got to tell you this funny story. Pastor Amy and I, we were taking Connor to go see this movie, The Secret Lives of Pets. Have you guys seen that? You know, it's good, you know, if you're a six-year-old, just saying, you know, but so we were on our way into the theater, and I held Connor's hand, and Amy had the other hand, and we're just walking by, and a guy was coming out, and he had a cowboy hat on. Now, he wasn't a cowboy by any sense of the means, you know, but he had this cowboy hat on. So as we're walking up, Connor just nonchalantly just looks at him and goes, "Hey, cowboy." It just looked like he knew him forever and that was his name, Cowboy. And then as I was walking by, I go, "Connor." He's like, "Hee-haw." I'm like, "Oh, man, the adventures of grandparenting, right? The darndest things the kids say." It's good. You know, I have been praying all week for God to show up in a really cool and an unexpected way in all of our lives, and that he would flood your soul with lots of good stuff, lots of hope and encouragement. Pastor Dave kicked off our summer series called I Promise 5 weeks ago, and it's on the eight names of God. And these names are not just identifiers of God, but they're promises for our own lives. These names are characteristics that show God's promises to you and I because of who he is. And so, did you enjoy Pastor Lonrie last week? Oh, man, he brought the word. He talked about the two names of God. God is my healer. God is my provider. And he did a powerful, powerful message. And I thank you for that, Pastor Lonrie. It was really good. But so we've heard six names of God already in this series. And today I'm going to bring you the last two names of God, Yahweh Shema. God is always there, and he is always there. And then Yahweh Nisi, God is my banner. So are you ready to hear God speak to us this morning? You ready for God's word? I want us to pray, and I want us to really get a hold of God, not just bow our heads to listen to a speech. But man, we're in God's house this morning, right? We are in the presence of Almighty God, and he wants to speak, and he wants to change our lives personally. So be expectant for God. Will you pray with me this morning? God, Father, we thank you for your presence in this room, Lord. God, we ask you to speak to every single person in this place, every person in a seat. God, I pray that your word would be deposited inside of them and that they would leave this place changed because of who you are and because of your names and because of the characteristics of who you are. God, I pray that we could apply those things to our lives and that we'd leave here changed. So your anointing this morning, we thank you. For your presence, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Pastor Mike Bro, I listened to his podcast. He's an evangelist in California, and he told a funny, kind of a stupid joke. And so don't hate me. I'm going to share it with you this morning. It kind of sets up my message. So it's about a parrot, okay? And this lady would walk past a pet store on her way to work every day. And there'd be a parrot in a window. And this parrot would yell out, "Hey, lady." She would go, "What? You're ugly." "What?" She'd get kind of offended, and so she went on to work. So the next day, she was walking past the pet store, and the parrot, "Hey, lady, what? You're ugly." "What?" She's like, "Oh, this is it. I'm not taking this anymore." She runs into the pet store, wants to find the manager, finds him and says, "You've got to shut that stupid bird up. There is no way that I'm going to take. He's offended me every day that I walk by, calling me names. Shut him up." And so the manager goes, "Ma'am, for sure, that parrot, I guarantee you, will not say those words again." The next day, she walks past the pet store. The parrot goes, "Hey, lady." She goes, "What?" And the parrot looks at her, "You know." You know. But let me tell you, isn't that the way that it goes? We hear those words. You know. You know. That chatter, those voices. You know. You know that you're never going to amount to anything. You know how weak you are. You know how unlovable you are. You know how hard this school is for you. You know you're never going to fit in. You know God doesn't have a plan for you. You know that you are unusable. But in this series, as we seek him and therefore receive the benefits of his names, I pray that you would be able to hear the voice of God above all other voices, and God saying, "You know, you are deeply loved. You know, I have a plan for you. You know, I have a hope and a future for you. You know, I've got my names that I have given to you, and they're my promises to you. Peace, shepherd, righteousness, sanctifier, healer, provider. I am always there. I am your banner." This is what this whole series is about. It's about letting God's personality help you. And when you apply these names, apply these characteristics of his names to our lives, they become benefits to us. And we're able then to live a successful life. You know, before we kind of plow into this message, I want us to stop to refocus on what it's all supposed to mean for us. We've been doing this each week, kind of sharing the key verses before we go into the two names that we're presenting. And so in your sermon notes, Hebrews 11:6 says, the Hebrew writer says these words, "It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe," that's a powerful word, "must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." So in order to receive God's promises, A, I have to believe God exists, right, as God, not just, that word believe doesn't mean just intellectual assent. If you go into the Greek, it means to trust in, to cling to rely on. It's a power-packed word, to believe that God is who he is. And B, I have to sincerely seek him, not the promises themselves. Because as we seek God, He then gives us access to his promises. We don't seek the promises to get to him. We seek him, and then the benefit of his promises flood our lives. Exodus 3:15 says these words, God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Let's make it personal this morning. The God of Jared, the God of Diane, the God of Eddie, the God of Erlene, the God of TJ. Let's make it personal. This is the God that has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. That name Yahweh is stated in the Old Testament 619 times. Therefore, Yahweh is the name of our promise-making, promise-keeping God forever. Forever. God is saying, this is my name, Yahweh. And I'm going to put characteristics to it to show you that these are my promises to you because of who I am. So if that is our starting point, we're going to cover the last two names in this series, these last two awesome promises. Number one, Yahweh Shema. God is always there. Say that with me. God is always there. Always there. In the Old Testament, this occurred in Ezekiel 48:35. And this is where the Jews were taken into captive, taken captive into Babylonia. Jerusalem was in ruins, but restoration was beginning. And so Ezekiel said these words, the distance around the entire city of Jerusalem will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be the Lord is there. God is always there. The name indicates that God had not abandoned Jerusalem, leaving it in ruins, but he's always with them, and there will be a restoration. Always. But oftentimes, we don't believe that God is always there. There are times in our lives that we feel that, man, God, have you abandoned me? We pray, we don't feel his presence. Last week, Pastor Lanre said this powerful statement, and it made an impact on me. I put it in your sermon notes. Don't mistake God's silence for God's absence. God may be silent, but he is not absent in our lives. King David, David of the Old Testament, he had a very close relationship with God, so much so God called him a man after my own heart. Yet David frequently complained of God's apparent absence in his life. And so he wrote these words in Psalms 10:1. He says, why, Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Then in Psalms 43:2, he says, you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And then he says in Psalms 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? David felt God wasn't there. But the truth is, God was there. And he's always with us, no matter how we feel as well. See, it's easy to worship God when everything is going right in your life, right? When you feel, man, God is there, things are going right, everything is happening. God has to be here in my life. But when family issues get tough, when we hear bad news about our physical health, when our finances go south, how do we worship God then? What do we do when God seems a million miles away? The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain. Man, that's good preaching. right there. Right there. Let me say it again. The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain. Thanking God during a trial, trusting Him when you're tempted, surrendering while suffering, and loving Him when He seems distant. That is the deepest level of worship. And you may say, Pastor Tom, but I've endured several injustices in my life, and how could God be there when those things were going on? Truth is, God gave mankind a free will. That's at the core of creation. He gave man a free will, and with that free will, mankind makes decisions that are not always right. And injustices happen. God didn't cause it, and He won't interfere with free will, but He is there to help you through it. He is there to walk you through it, and He is there, if you let Him, to carry you through it. God is always there. Hebrews 13:5, at the end of that scripture, it says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." In fact, King David came around, and in Psalms 139, he talks about God always being there. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go to make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is like a light to you." David is like, God, you are there. No matter where I'm at, you are there. Therefore, we shouldn't rely on our feelings, right? It should be, God, you're there, having faith. So what pleases God? Faith, not feelings, pleases God. Faith, not feelings, pleases God. Faith, faith, faith. You may say, Pastor Tom, but when you feel like God isn't there, what do I do? How do I go about believing that God is there? Well, here's a recipe for you to follow. Number one, tell God exactly how you feel. Tell Him how you feel. Cry, laugh, scream, talk, whisper. Pour out your heart to God. We see that in the book of Psalms, David opening up his heart, and we see him crying, we see him screaming, we see him talking, we see him whispering, we see him just pouring out his heart to God. God wants you to be real with Him. Do that. Number two, focus on who God is, His unchanging nature, no matter how you feel. Hang on to God's unchanging character, because your circumstances that you're going through doesn't change God's character. He's the same today as He is tomorrow, as He was yesterday. Number three, trust God to keep His promises. He is a promise-making, promise-keeping God. Trust Him. Number four, remember what He's already done for you. He gave you the ability to get through your last issue. He'll get you through this one. Remember the good that God has done for you. Remember 2,000 years ago that He died on a rugged cross for you and for me and paid for our sins. Remember the day you gave your life to Him and how He made you a completely brand new person. Remember what God has done for you. And number five, and this is a good one, know who you are in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Walk in that authority that Christ has given you. He has given you great authority over the enemy, over the circumstances of life. We can trample on the enemy, and we can walk in that authority daily, daily. Remember, when you feel abandoned by God, continue to trust Him. And when you worship Him, that's the deepest way that you can. Yahweh Shema, God is always there. The last name of God in this series is an important one. Yahweh Nisi, God my banner, God my banner. Say it with me, God my banner. Exodus 17, 15. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. In this scripture, Moses, recognizing that the Lord was Israel's banner under which they defeated the enemy, he built an altar called Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner. See, Nisi is sometimes translated a pole with an insignia attached, like a flag, right? And in a battle, opposing nations would fly their own flag on a pole at their respected front lines. And they would put that flag there, and the soldiers would see that. And it would be, this is who we are. We are strong. We can defeat the enemy. That flag was like a feeling of hope and a focal point for them. And God is saying, I am your banner. I'm your flag. I'm your banner of encouragement to give you hope and a focal point. Yahweh Nisi, God is my banner. He goes before me. However, instead of applying Yahweh Nisi to our lives, oftentimes we live in this scarcity mentality when it comes to ourselves. And the primary thing that we often think about ourselves, especially when we're presented with a challenge or a character flaw, sounds something like this. I am never blank enough. I am never enough. I left it blank because there's no fill-in, because this is really personal between for you and for me. It's not only personal from person to person, but for each person, it's almost moment by moment. I am never enough. How many of you can relate to this? I'm going to turn around so you don't have to look me in the eye. How many of you believe? Raise your hands. I am never enough. I am never blank enough. I am never good enough. I am never patient enough. Maybe some of you got some preschoolers, right? I am never patient enough. I am never consistent enough. You know, you start something, you stop it, you start it, you stop it. I'm not consistent enough. I am never strong enough. Reminds me of that song, that song by Matthew West. I am never strong enough. I'm not going to sing it. I promise you. Chris Peterson, he would want me to sing it, but congratulations on your baby, by the way. She's beautiful. I am never loved enough. I am never rich enough. I am never creative enough. I am never smart enough. I am never talented enough. I am never compassionate enough. We could go all day long and fill in the blanks. In fact, I heard somebody say, I am never awesome enough. I thought that was brilliant. but you fill in the blank. I am never enough. And what that is the essence of insecurity. It's a soundtrack that plays in our minds. Instead of Yahweh Nisi, God my banner, playing in our mind, we have these soundtracks playing in our heads. And if there's any consolation, we're in good company, because there's people in the Bible that have gone through the same thing. In fact, there's one person in particular in the Bible that God used in a great, great way, yet struggled with insecurity in his deepest parts. And that was Moses. Moses, he was the pastor of the local church in the desert, right? The first church of the desert. And God called him to help deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. But before God could use him to deliver people, God had to deliver him from some stuff, some junk in his lives. You know, we all have stuff, in our lives, junk that God has to work through. And here was Moses, just an overview of Moses. He was born a Hebrew, a Jew, but he was brought up in an Egyptian palace in Pharaoh's household. Yet all of his kinsmen, all the other Hebrews, were slaves to the Egyptians. And when Moses was a young man, he saw an Egyptian fighting a Hebrew one day. And he looked this way and that. When he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian. Then the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting each other. And he goes up to them, "Brothers, why are you fighting each other?" And one of them said, "Oh, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses is like, "Oh, the word is out. I've got to get out of town." And so he fled to Midian, where he settled down, got married, became a father, tended a flock there. And that's where he had his experience with the burning bush, with the burning bush. And God appeared in that bush and essentially said, "Moses, I need you to lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt and into the promised land. And I'm sending you to Pharaoh with this message." And here's how Moses responded to him, Exodus 3, verse 11. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I, God?'" I love the Bible. It's so real. The Bible doesn't say, "Tom, you're an idiot. Get your life together. What's wrong with you?" Instead, there's just some real stuff that real men and women of God have said about their frailty. And here's Moses saying, "Who am I, God?" In this scripture, we're watching the conversation between two characters, God and Moses. But I want to suggest to you that there's a third character in this story. It's not mentioned, but I believe it's implied. And that's the voices of others, the chatter, right? Just like the parrot saying, you know, we listen to this chatter, what people or what ourselves say about us, instead of what God says about us, instead of us raising the banner high, signifying what God is to us. Instead, we listen to the voices of what others say about ourselves and what that stupid parrot is saying. Here, God is telling Moses who he is and what he can do to free the Israelites. And Moses' instinctive response is, and maybe some of us can relate to this, "Who am I? Who am I, God, to do what you are saying? Who am I?" You can hear the insecurity in his voice. You could see it in his actions. You could feel it in his hesitancy. "God, who am I?" And I can hear Moses saying, "God, I am really enjoying this conversation. I really am. I can't wait to tell my friends about it, how you lit this bush up and you're talking to me. But you've got the wrong guy. You made a mistake. Who am I to lead such an endeavor?" Ever feel this way? Who am I? Oftentimes, as soon as God tells you what he wants to do through you, the voices will start reminding you of what you've done in your past, which means that you can't do what God has purposed. The voices or the chatter will use your history to inform your insecurity. The voices, the chatter will use your history to form your insecurity. But your old life doesn't define who you are, does it? You are so much more than a summary of your past mistakes, right? That's a line of a song. Touch someone and say, "I'm a child of God. I am a child of God." Now look at this statement. It's another statement about the voices. "I am so blank." Moses is saying, "Look at me. I'm a man in hiding, God. In fact, I'm hiding my face from you because I can't stand the thought of looking at somebody as holy as you. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Who am I that you would visit me in this way? Who am I, God, that you would have a plan for my life? Who am I? I'm a messed up guy. I'm a jacked up guy. I am so dysfunctional. I am so deficient. I am so unusable. I am so weak. You see, God wants us to lift and raise up that banner high because He is our banner. This is given to us as a sense of hope and a focal point. This is who God is to us. We do not need to listen to the sediment, "I am never blank enough." Don't listen to it. Trample on that thought. When you start thinking about who am I, say, "I am a child of God. I am loved. I am going to impact my generation for the kingdom of God. I am empowered. I am gifted. I am strong through Him." Listen, we've got to get this right. Why? Because we have a responsibility to love and to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to invest our lives into people. All of us have that responsibility. Don't miss this. Listen, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors, right? You may be feeling that God is asking you to do something, give something, serve somewhere, launch something new. And you may be a little bit afraid to do it. Listen, if He is asking you to do it, He will equip you to do it. Remember, the church, it isn't here for us. We are the church, and we are here for the world. The local church is the hope of the world, and we are the local church. We have a responsibility to minister. All of us do. We're all ministers. So we need to stop saying and thinking negative, "I am so blank," and start saying, "I am so empowered. I am so hopeful. I am so expectant." He is our banner. Devil, I am not dysfunctional. Self, I am not deficient. I am a child of God. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is my banner. I will persevere. Touch someone and say, "I will persevere." We will persevere. That's the way to success, is through perseverance. Amen. My last point, we must persevere. We must. As we come to the end of this series, to apply all of these promises that God has for us, we must persevere through issues that we have. We must overcome the voices, the chatter, the, you know, William Wallace, he was a great Scottish knight. You know what he said? "All men die, but only a few really live." Only a few really live. Why? Because only a few persevere. Be one of the few. Be one of the few. Pastor Laundrie last week said, "Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Keep on walking." How many of you guys have seen Finding Nemo, Finding Dory? What does Dory say when life gets you down? "Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Swim, swim, swim." I'm not going to sing it, but just keep singing. We've got to get this, church. We've got to get it. The Apostle Paul said to the churches at Philippi, one of my favorite letters in the Bible. He said these words in Philippians 3, verse 10. "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul is talking about persevering right here through situations that you may find yourself in. "I press on," he says, "to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward." And Paul is picturing a runner here, running a race, winning a prize, persevering to get that prize. In less than a week, the 2016 Summer Olympics are going to take place. You guys excited about the Summer Olympics? I am. How many of you remember the unforgettable Olympic story from the 1992 Barcelona Olympics? It was Great Britain. He was a 400-meter runner. His name was Derek Redmond. And during the prelim races, his hamstring snapped, virtually just ending any hope of getting an Olympic medal. But he was determined to finish that race. He showed perseverance. Let's watch. That was Derek Redmond's dad. His dad came out of the stands to accompany his son. He said, "If I was there when you started this quest, and I'm going to be there as you finish it." And as they crossed the line, they brought 65,000 spectators to their feet in a standing ovation, many of them in tears. Why? Because Redmond persevered. He finished what he started. He finished the race. His dad came out to help. It was pretty inspiring watching the whole thing. How much more should you and I persevere for an incorruptible crown? With our dad, with our father coming out and to help us to get through things, persevere at all costs. God has a plan. He's got a future. He's got a hope for you and I, for you and I. Let's bow our heads in this place. Let's close our eyes. God has called you and I to persevere. Why? Because he wants to equip us with his promises for our lives, to live abundant lives, and to fulfill the purposes that he has for us. Yahweh Shema, I am always there. God wants to push you through the times that we feel that he isn't there. And he wants us to trust him. Yahweh Nisi, God is my banner. He's a banner of encouragement to give us hope and a focal point. Don't fall for the negative voices that say, "I am never blank enough," or "Who am I?" or "I am so." Instead, fill your minds with God's positive reinforcements, his word, and the promises of his name: peace, shepherd, righteousness, sanctifier, healer, provider. I am always there. I am your banner. If you would say, "Man, that's me, Pastor Tom. I'm going to apply these names, not only the last two names, but every name that has been presented to me in the last 5 weeks. If you're going to be intentional about that, lift up your hand. Say, "That's me." Yes, I'm seeing hands go up all over this place. Father, we love you, Lord. We are taking our eyes off the low road, and we are headed for the high road of blessing that you have planned for you and I. God, I pray that you would help us to take your names. Help us as we seek you. And then as an overflow of that, take these beautiful promises, the names of you, Lord, and help us to apply them to our lives so that we can walk hopeful, and purposeful lives in this generation, because God, we want to disciple, we want to baptize, we want to teach, we want to make an impact in this generation, and we thank you for that. As your heads are still bowed, maybe there are some in this room, in this crowd, that would say, man, I love what you're saying. I love God's names, but I don't have this personal relationship with God like you're talking about. You know, the biggest rescue mission ever accomplished was done by God, the Father, for you and I. And why? Why was it needed? It was because of our sin, our wrongdoing separated us from him. So he sent his only son to pay the price for our sin. And Jesus paid the price for you and for me so that we could be rescued. He wants to save you. He wants to make you completely new. And it's really just a prayer way. It's asking him to come inside and asking him to forgive you of what you've done. And so I want to pray that prayer. But before I do, I want to know who I'm praying for. And if you're in this room and that's you and you want to give your heart, your life to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you want to give your life to the Lord, lift up your hand this morning. Lift it up right now and say, that's me. That's me, Pastor Tom. I see that hand. Are there others in this place? You would say, man, I want to give my heart. I want to get on the right track. Maybe at one point you were on the right track and you've kind of faltered off, but you want to recommit your life to Christ. Lift up your hand. Lift it up and say, man, that is me. And I want you to include me in your prayer. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. You can put them down. Amen. Church, pray with me. Repeat these words. Those of you that lifted up your hands, as you are repeating these words, this prayer back to God, believe in your heart these words that you're saying, and God will come in and he'll change you. So church, let's all pray together. Dear Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to earth to live a holy life as an example for us, and then to die on a rugged cross for my sin. Thank you that he paid the penalty of my sin. Jesus, come into my life. Be my leader. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Holy Spirit, empower me now. And I thank you, Father, for all of this. And I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Church, let us celebrate. We had several that came into the kingdom of God this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.